Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast sponsored by DECA, the opera label. This is Jana Wichlow, and today I'm speaking with soprano Ileana Montalbetti. Ileana is just completing her fourth and last year in the ensemble studio, so it's a good time to look back and forward on her exciting career. Welcome, Ileana, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. No, I'm happy to be here.
Now, first of all, I have to congratulate you on your recent recital as part of the free concert series in the Richard Bradshaw Amphitheatre. This was your adieu, your farewell to the ensemble studio. It was very moving. I was one of the ones in tears.
So was I. Oh, my gosh.
Can you tell us why you chose to sing what you sang?
Well, partly it was economical. Those pieces, it was an opportunity to learn some new repertoire, concert repertoire, which we don't always get to do, that I'm now using in some competitions to come. So it was, you know, economical, as I say. But
can you tell us what they were?
So the set of Britten pieces that I sang, the Poet's Echo, were brand new to me, and it was actually Rachel Andrus who kind of suggested them, and she thought that they, you know, they speak to her, and we have musical, our musical sensibilities kind of match up. So. She presented them to me and thought it would just be a useful kind of set of songs for me to have. And they're so unique. And they're so, I don't know if it's the Russian or, you know, they're so guttural. And they just, I love singing them now. So, you know, those I will now use in the Montreal competition that's coming up, the international competition at the end of May. They're just amazing pieces that speak about an artist, you know. And so I felt like that was really fitting. And then, again, some of the Strauss songs were new, but some of them definitely, Ich trage meine Minne and Zweignung, you know, were pieces that I'd sung for ages. So, and then the two arias, we chose the Ozachs mein Freund and then the Arabella, you know, I've just introduced into my repertoire in the last year. So, but they're both kind of, those especially are about a coming of age, both of those characters. Yeah. Eva's kind of at that place in her life where she's like, you know, I've met the man I want to marry, and it's, you know, it's changing, and it's same with Das war sehr gut. And it was actually when I coached them with Adrienne Pajanka, she was the one who pointed out, and I hadn't even really put it together yet, and she said, well, this is so fitting for your farewell. This is like their upsheet to their younger self now moving forward in life. And I went, oh gosh, yeah, we got it. Like, and it was just so, it was like, yes, it is an upsheet to, you know, kind of a youth and now moving forward and, you know, saying farewell to the ensemble, moving into the next stage of my career, my life. So that's why we, but it was.
You told this really sweet story about the encore you did.
So the encore was, it was a Britten song. So kind of tying back into the Britten and then looking forward to Britten roles that'll come for me. So Britten is kind of got this special place with me right now, and it was Sweet Polly Oliver, and it was actually the first piece I ever sang in Kiwanis Festival that I won a class in. I think it was under 12 or under 14 folk song class, and so you know, we all get up and sing, and I won that class, and so it's the first kind of accolade I got was singing that piece. So it's a great story, you know, and I love the Britten settings of all those folk songs. So that's how we ended. So
that was
pretty
wonderful.
Special.
Now it's interesting. You say that you were singing very young.
Yeah.
You come from a lot of artistry in your family.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the whole how you got into this?
Sure. Well, my mom is artistic director of Saskatoon Opera, and my dad is a professor of theater. He's a sessional prof at the University of Saskatchewan in theater, and then also teaches at the high school level. So, so we kind of were brought up in it, and as my brother tried to get away from it a bit. He tried to do other things, and now he's actually graduating this spring as a theater major. So he's a theater major. Well, it was really funny. We were doing a bit of cleanup this Christmas, and my mom found one of my grade 6 report card. And on the report card, we had to put our short-term and long-term goals. And my short-term goal was to get my homework done on time, and my long-term goal was to become an opera singer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so she kept that, of course. But so it was just always something I was just brought up in this musical household, and I just didn't really know any anything else except performing. So I did a year as a theater major as well, but then quickly turned into, went to music. But my mom's favorite story is when I was five, we were living in the apartment attached to my grandparents' home. And my grandma came over to, like, came into the apartment and said, okay, Ilya, it's time for dinner. And I told her, no, I'm not coming. The Marriage of Figaro was on the CBC French channel. And I said, I'm not coming until the opera's over.
Oh, my goodness.
And so she went back to see my mom. And she said, you've done it to her, too. I'm like, what's going on? Well, you know, play some excerpts of Figaro. It's definitely, it was the first full role I ever did was Countess at opera school. I've repeated it a couple times since then. I was back home singing it last season. So Figaro and Mozart and all hold this special place, but I was very young. So
that's wonderful. That kind of ties in a little bit, that sort of, you know, your family with the role you're doing right now in The Tales of Hoffman.
Yeah.
The mother of Antonia.
Yeah.
Who is a singer.
Exactly. And it's so funny because, you know, singing the role of the mother is amazing. And then being able to cover Antonia this season, I go on next season to make my debut with Edmonton Opera as Antonia.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, I was born in Edmonton. And then when I was two, we moved back to Saskatoon. My mom sang in the Edmonton Opera Chorus. The last show she did as a chorus member was sang in Tales of Hoffman.
No.
And that's, I think, the last time Edmonton Opera did it. My mom was a chorus member. And now I'm going to make my debut there, where I was born, as Antonia.
That's fantastic.
And so there's this really, yeah, it's kind of inexplicable in a way. Sam Raimi was singing the villains, and she spoke with him. And, you know, it was, yeah, she said I had just been born. And she was singing in the chorus. And so when I called her and told her that I was offered this contract, she just was like, Illy, that's the last show I did with Edmonton as a chorus member.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah. So
wonderful.
So it's just, it's we just say everything happens for a reason. So, yeah.
So you did a performance degree in Manitoba.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, I did a vocal performance degree.
And then you came to Toronto and you did the opera diploma at the U of T.
Yeah, I
and
did.
And then to the ensemble studio.
Well, I did a year in the chorus.
Right.
Yeah, so I did my 2 years at U of T as a diploma student, and then I did a year as a full member of the chorus for one season, and then obviously halfway through that season, I was informed that I would be joining the ensemble the following year. So
yeah.
And actually, before I even finished opera school, I did a school tour with the company.
Oh,
so we
right.
did our flute school tour in, gosh, was that like 2000? Spring. So I essentially was folded into the company like before I even finished school.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been here for a while.
Now, how has it been 4 years in the ensemble studio? What has that experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. It's I said in the notes of my, like, when I spoke at my recital, just I grew up here. This is where I grew up. This, I feel like I've definitely like come of age in this building and on that stage. And this is family. This is home. I don't, you know, and I'm excited to leave. Of course, you know, there's new opportunities coming. And but it's definitely bittersweet.
Oh, we're gonna miss seeing you around here. But I understand there's an exciting role you're coming back to do, which I suppose we can't mention.
No,
is that true?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll be back soon. So.
I'm not sure. I'm going to find it. I don't think I know what it is, but I'm really curious. I'm sure our listeners are.
We're
too
excited.
Are there any particular artists who inspire you?
Adrienne Pajonka, definitely.
Yeah.
She's the consummate artist.
And you're saying that you were coaching with her?
Yeah, she's amazing. So warm and open, and that definitely, you know, to have been here for the years that I have and seen her, I, you know, do Fidelio, do Leonora, was amazing. I stood in the wings every night and watched. I would just, and some days at like, I would just come to the theater just to hear the aria and then I would leave, you know, but, and then Ariadne, of course, you know, and she's always been so open to talking and coaching when we can and, you know, just to work with someone who knows the repertoire so well and is just the classiest, most consummate artist you could imagine. So she definitely is top of the list. And then my teacher, Wendy Nielsen, of course, too.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of two better Canadian icons. So in the operatic, for me, you know, I just look up to both of them so much and aspire to accomplish what they've accomplished in their careers. So
that's
yeah.
wonderful. Now you've done a number of roles on the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
You did Clorinda in Cenerentola.
Yeah.
You're doing the voice of Antonia's mother. As we know, you've covered some great roles, Amelia in Simon Bocanegra.
Yeah, that was my first big cover.
Yeah, and Elisabetta in Maria Stuarda.
Yeah.
And you also sang Elettra in Idomeneo.
Yeah, in the ensemble studio performance.
And shall we listen to an excerpt?
Yes, yeah.
That?
Yeah, I think we have Carol Vanesse, who we actually got to work with as well, who I sang.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when she came, gosh, was it 2 seasons ago? And did that 10-day residency here with us. And so I got to sing Torres de Tayache for her. So that was so cool. And
yeah.
She, you know, again, an amazing, amazing artist. So, yeah, that was the first year we did the ensemble studio performance. That was was Idomeneo. And so having that opportunity was amazing. So.
Well, that's great. We will hear her sing Elettra's aria Dores de Dayace, and this is a 1996 recording on Deutsche Grammophon with James Levine conducting the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra.
Actually sung Dores de Dayache for Maestro Levine as well. I did it in a class for him when I was at Tanglewood.
Now, because you've been at Tanglewood.
I did two
seasons,
summers as a
right.
soprano fellow. Yeah.
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 And what sort of what do you do there? Like what does that
it's
entail?
We did scenes. The first year I was at Tanglewood. Luckily that was a year that Maestro was there for an entire season. I came like that was one of the last seasons he was there for an entire
mm-hmm.
season. So he actually chose our scenes for us. We sang for him in class. I sang Dores de Diace for him in class, and then he gave me the Aida duet, the Amneris Aida
oh.
duet. I sang it with Jamie Barton, who sang here. She and I sang that, and then we did a big chunk from Don Giovanni. I sang Donna Elvira. So I did. We did the opening of Act Two, the trio, and then kind of segued into. Then he wanted me to sing Mitradi, so I sang that. And we actually did. We had one coaching together on the aria, and then one on the Aida duet.
You were in Rome last fall for a second time.
Yeah.
The first time working with Riccardo Muti, is that
mm-hmm.
right? Can you
yeah.
tell us about that?
So the So November, I guess it was 2010. This
mm-hmm.
is while we were doing Death in Venice. I went to Rome and covered Anaï in Rossini's Moise e Feron, which is not often done, but Maestro Muti is a champion of this piece. They've done it. This was the third incarnation of it that he's done. He's done it at Scala and then did it at the Salzburg Festival in 2009 and then came to Teatro dell'Opera di Roma in 2010. So a lot of the cast has gone through all three productions with him. So
mm-hmm.
I went to be second cover, really. It was mainly just a learning experience, just to kind of be in that milieu, sit in on rehearsals. But the woman who was singing the role was going to be late, and then the first cover was going to be late. So I actually did the first 10 days of rehearsals.
Oh, wow.
And did two musicals with Maestro where I sang.
Yeah.
So that was crazy, but I definitely they say you don't really know until you've been pushed off the deep end, and that was definitely a being pushed off the deep end moment where I was like, what is going on? But yeah, it was great. And that, Eric Cutler was there, who
mm-hmm.
I'd met when we were doing Stuarda here, and then he was there doing the Moisa, and he was kind of my touchstone in Rome because I somebody who I knew, and it a lot of the scenes were with him, so it was a crazy experience. But yeah, so I was in Rome for 6 weeks that season, kind of, as I say, role studying
mm-hmm.
Anaï. And then they invited me to come back this last fall, and I sang Fifth Maid in Elektra, Strauss's Elektra.
Right.
It was the Lainhof production from Salzburg as well.
Yeah.
So that was great. So I was there for a month.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, you go to do Antonia next season.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
That's the big focus for next season. I have a great full recital back home. Yeah, it's a bit of a time to, I think, too, to have a little bit of breathing room.
Yes.
To really prepare these roles that I have coming up. And also, the rigorous schedule of being in the ensemble for 4 years. I'm looking forward to, as I say, this little bit of breathing space and just taking the time to really prepare these roles well for these debuts that I have coming up. And obviously doing more auditions. I've, started some just at the beginning stages with some relationships in Europe, so trying to take advantage of that as well. So
now, speaking of future roles, do you have any real dream roles?
Oh, well, I want to be a Valkyrie for sure. At this point, I'm like, which one doesn't really matter, but
there's a whole bunch.
Yeah, there's eight of them. So, and of course, Brunhilde in that repertoire is the Holy Grail, but of course, Isolde, and Arabella and Marcellin and Ariadne. I love that repertoire. So, those are definitely roles that I'm thinking about. Yeah, perhaps some Verdi along the line, but I definitely love the Germanic music and that style. So
mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, those are the dream ones for now.
What do you do when you're not working?
I watch too much TV. I have my bike. I bike everywhere. I enjoy spending time with my friends, talking on the phone with my family back home, and you know, Skype is so important. And
Skype is wonderful.
Yeah, Skype is great. Going to movies, hanging out. As I say, I watch like way too much TV. So I love just going home and, you know, playing my computer games and watching TV and hanging out. And I have great roommates.
Why don't we listen to something else?
Yes,
one of your favorite roles, the Countess.
Yeah, Countess, of course. As I say, it was the first full role I ever did at opera school here at U of T, and I've repeated it twice since then, once at the Chautauqua Institute, and then last season I was at home singing it, so it's definitely a special role.
Well, we'll hear Gundula Janowitz sing Dove Sono from The Marriage of Figaro. This is from 1968, also on the Deutsche Grammophon label, with Karl Böhm conducting the Deutsche Oper Orchestra.
Thank you.
Anna, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Really look forward to seeing you back. We're really going to miss you. For more information about the recordings we listened to today and the COC Spring Productions, please visit our website at coc.ca, where you can also purchase tickets and other season-related recordings online. This is Jana Wichlow. Please join me again in this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by DECA, the opera label.